Welcome to Alaska Radio Reader Rambler, a monthly potpourri of literary snacks for the mind and interviews. I'm Sandy Harper, here with my co-host Dick Reichman and two very special women of will who are going to share with you something Shakespearean special coming up this very weekend, the first annual Anchorage Bardathon. So maybe you could tell us, what is a Bardathon?
You start, Jessica.
Okay. So many of you out there are aware that Fairbanks Shakespeare has a 14-year tradition of reading the entire works of Shakespeare, solid, 24 hours a day for 8 or 9 days, however the math works out. I have an annual relationship with Fairbanks Shakespeare, and I saw them doing this wonderful community event that anybody can participate in and wanted to give it a try in Anchorage, but not 150-60 hours. Let's just get started with 24 straight hours overnight of our absolute favorite plays.
So you're going to explore the comedies and the dramas and the histories. And how are you kind of assigning it? I know the entire theater community, or many four theaters, are participating.
Yes. Unlike Fairbanks Shakespeare, we're doing a progressive Bardathon. That's like a progressive dinner where you start at one person's house for hors d'oeuvres and the next person's house for the entree and dessert yet somewhere else. Elizabeth, do you want to talk about the UAA shift?
Sure, I can start there. UAA is going to be hosting the Friday night. That's March 1st, the Friday night segment. And is that the first segment, Jessica?
That is the opening segment.
All right. So in the Harper Studio Theater at UAA, starting at 6 p.m., we will be presenting two of Shakespeare's history plays, I believe.
Correct.
And I think, have they been picked?
Yes, it is Henry V and Richard III.
Richard III, yes.
Yes, and for people who have tickets to Sense and Sensibility, they can join us after, which is also happening at UAA that very same night.
Which Liz is directing,
right. By
the
way.
Since I'm directing that, I'm going to be jumping in. I hope Richard III is second, because I have a great love of Queen Elizabeth, and I really want to read that scene.
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
Plus, Richard III's had a lot of press lately.
Richard III is a very good play and a very interesting piece of history, and now we know what his skeleton looked like.
Oh, my goodness.
Lucky
so,
us.
So, people who definitely want to read a particular role should contact David Edgecombe over at the university to sign up for that role in advance. Otherwise, just show up. Shakespeare's plays are famous for having myriad roles, millions of roles, so it's the more voices will make the voices last.
And is it bring your own complete works?
Or if you've got it, bring it. We're going to be canvassing the town and libraries and Tidal Wave and all those guys looking for anthologies. So bring a copy of the play you know you want to go to, or an anthology, and jump
in. And we'll tell you what some of the other plays are right now, too.
Yeah.
But not only readers, you can be a groundling if you want, but we'd love you to be a reader as well.
Yes, you are welcome to just sit and watch. You can take a nap and let the words of the bard wash over you and address your subconscious. It's just we all know that Shakespeare's works are not meant to be read in your mind. They're meant to be heard. And this is a chance to, without producing the entire play, get lots of voices out there hearing and lots of ears experiencing the rhythms and the sounds that Shakespeare wanted to affect the body in that way.
Yeah.
So, the next shift, I think, is very exciting. We move from University of Alaska's Harper Studio for the opening shift over to out north for the graveyard shift. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
midnight
geez.
To 6 a.m.
Would Hamlet be read, perhaps, during that one?
It will be Macbeth and Hamlet. So the ghost
Bring out
plays.
The ghosts. Yes.
Right. In the wee dark hours of the night. So do contact Alaska Theater of Youth if you want to sign up for those. We're handling their registrations. And then, children are early risers, right? We're hoping
so.
Because Alaska Theater of Youth has the early bird shift. From 6 a.m. to noon, we will be doing Twelfth Night and Romeo and Juliet. So bear in mind, each of these plays lasts about 3 hours. So if you can only come for the first play, great. If you only want to come for the second play, great.
But bring snacks, maybe.
Yeah,
and coffee.
And coffee. Yeah. No, that shift in particular.
Yes. Even if you just want to read, one act of a play, that's great. The more voices, the merrier. And it's really just meant to be a community experiencing Shakespeare together. And the final shift...
Well, it will be at Cyrano's, but Liz is spearheading it for us, so maybe you tell a little about it.
Well, Sandy and I, in a very quick moment in the lobby the other night, decided on our two favorite comedies.
Yay.
And so we are going to be doing Much Ado About Nothing and A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Fantastic.
And was it 8 years ago now? We produced A Midsummer Night's...
2005 it was.
2005. We produced that play, and we're doing everything we can to reignite some of the original cast.
That would be so
I've heard from a few of them. Quite a few have moved on to other things, but we're going to try to get some of the original cast there to play some of those parts.
That's fantastic, and maybe we can use the magic of the internet and
we might
phones
be able
to be able to get some people who are out of town or even out of the country to participate.
Well, you know, actually when Fairbanks, Jerry once phoned in King Lear because he was performing
yes,
it at the time.
Yes, and they, Fairbanks Shakespeare streams their entire experience on live stream. So I've signed up for a live stream where people can watch the room and kind of see the readers read and listen and even call in. They had readers calling in from all over the world, and Graham Watts, who is a brilliant visionary director for Fairbanks Shakespeare, has promised that he and a rather prestigious actor friend will both be calling into this Bardathon.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we'll get to hear voices potentially from all over the world, which I'm relying on for the graveyard shift and the early shift.
Well, it'll be daytime.
Yes, you're welcome to call from your homes, too. We'll put you on speakerphone.
Is Bruce planning to make an appearance, Bruce Rogers?
Bruce, we are flying him down, and he's going to be our captain, oh captain, and help liaise and facilitate and assign roles as people walk in who are just walk-ins. So he's going to exploit his wonderful years of experience leading
those. Yes, he is the visionary artistic leader of Fairbanks Shakespeare.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, they actually perform theirs outside in all kinds of
fun
ways.
Their plays are magical. And I've actually driven up from here, from Anchorage, to Fairbanks to see shows because they're just, it's worth it. It's worth a weekend trip. It really is.
Well, actually, we have toured some of the Shakespearean plays that Liz and David have produced for Cyrano's. Mm-hmm. I'm especially fond of Othello and the magic
amazing.
Of Othello.
Yeah, some of the greatest moments in my experience with Shakespeare have been playing in villages around Alaska, and it's been magnificent.
Yeah, the adaptation, that was particularly wonderful because Othello was played as, not Aleut, because that's what...
Yes, he was. He was
He was Aleut.
It was if he were an Aleut yes. sea captain.
And it really worked.
So we kind of transferred everything to Alaska, Russian America, and it was an interesting production.
And really renowned in town,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But that is fascinating how adaptable Shakespeare is to different contexts.
Mm-hmm.
Remaining
timeless.
Oh, my
goodness. You can just do anything. Set it in outer space.
Yeah,
who
the
cares?
Themes are universal. The human relationships,
right.
Human or alien, relationships would still be the mm-hmm. same. So there's different levels of commitment in coming to this. It, as I said, you can just read one part. You can read one play. You can read a shift, or you can follow the play you like to a different venue. And you could truly challenge yourself. And I hope there's a few diehards out there that want to do the whole thing.
I'd love that. We'd give them a prize.
6 p.m. I know. I'll be cheering for anybody who wants to read all the way through and have a personal goal of making 24 hours of beautiful literature come to life.
We'll even furnish them a free Shakespeare. You know, that's root beer, really.
Ha, Shakespeare.
Yes. Now, I'm wondering how you guys personally became ignited and interested in Shakespeare. I know Liz came to Alaska from the Indiana Shakespeare Festival.
Well, one question that I get asked, because I do Shakespeare education in the schools, but a lot of people want to know why Shakespeare, and I always credit my grandmother.
Oh.
She took me, my first Shakespeare play was Macbeth, which I saw at the Globe Theater in San Diego when I was, I think, 7 or 8.
Oh, and it was really powerful.
And we sat in the front row.
Ooh.
I saw Richard Eastman, who now is an actor in his 80s. I just saw him on Shakespeare Uncovered. Has anybody seen that
no.
series?
I've heard wonderful things.
It's fabulous. Well, they did one on Macbeth, and Ethan Hawke was trying to explore Macbeth's character, and he interviewed Richard Eastman, and I jumped out of my chair. I was like, oh, he's still alive, and there he is, and he looked great. But anyway, I saw that production sitting in the front row at the Globe Theater, and I don't know if anybody knows that theater, but when you're in the front row, you can reach out and touch the actors.
Wow.
And the very next night, we had tickets to Julius Caesar. Mm-hmm. So I saw Macbeth one night, and then the next night, Julius Caesar. Richard Eastman played Brutus the next night in Julius Caesar.
Repertory.
And it was like, oh, my Lord. I want to do this for the rest of my life.
And you have.
I have. And,
for better or for worse.
For better or for worse, here I am.
In sickness and in health.
What a gift your grandmother gave
but
you.
But it was. And, you know, she read Shakespeare aloud along with James Thurber. And, you know, she just read aloud to us, which is why I feel so driven to get words off of pages into people's mouths. And Shakespeare only works when you do that. So consequently, I work with kids, especially in middle school, to get them to perform and enjoy the process of uncorking Shakespeare.
And it's live. It's alive.
It is. And they figure out, hey, this stuff's funny.
Yeah, you know? There's so much humor.
And, you know, 400-year-old humor.
And it's pretty twisted, too. I mean, it should appeal to today's youth.
Oh, boy, is that the truth. A couple of years ago, we did a Romeo and Juliet with some at-risk youth, and it was amazing.
That was the Avail.
How they could relate to that first scene where the Montagues and Capulets are picking fights in the street, and they just... There was recognition, instantaneous.
It resonated.
Truly amazing.
Well, you know, right now there's a film out about Julius Caesar being done in a prison.
Yes.
In Italy. It sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
So, well, Liz, how many roles have you played? Oh, you have been the women, plural of Will.
Well, my husband, David Edgecombe, and I, we founded and ran the Indiana Shakespeare Festival for 10 years before we moved up here. So, my primary function there as an artist was performance. And again, it was Shakespeare outside. There's something
so
magical
magic.
About Shakespeare outside, you know, along with the bugs flying in your face and...
But it's the velvety touch of the wind and the sound in the trees.
That's romanticizing it. Yes.
When they did King Lear, I guess thunder was on cue.
Or the pouring down rain. The natural intensifiers of working outside that raise the stakes
they
in the
give
production,
it an edge.
Too.
Yeah. They give it an edge. So I was really fortunate to play a lot of the iconic female roles, and I feel like one of the luckiest actors on the planet because of that experience. But I still haven't played one.
Which
that I'm
one?
For. Lady Macbeth.
Really? You haven't done Lady Macbeth?
I have never done Lady Macbeth. I was first witch because we
and
ran it.
And that was
it,
the first play you saw, you said.
Yes, yeah. It was. But we ran it in repertory with Much Ado About Nothing, and I was Beatrice. And I couldn't be Beatrice and Lady Macbeth because we always had a company of actors that, you know, big part one play, not
support.
So big the next. And
you know, my favorite... Macbeth was actually a film, Throne of Blood.
That is one of my
it's
favorite
fabulous.
Kurosawa films of all time.
It really is
fabulous.
Especially the interpretation of Lady Macbeth.
Yep.
It's just breathtaking.
So have you ever acted in Shakespeare or just produced
I
that?
Have.
Oh, good.
But my early affiliations are not quite so romantic. I had the standard, I believe it was, 8th grade curriculum introduction to Romeo and Juliet. Where we memorized the opening monologue, and that was the extent of the analysis.
Oh dear.
Yeah, but I have to admit, as unromantic as it may seem, that my ongoing love of Shakespeare has no small part to do with the fighting.
Well, you are quite renowned as a combat instructor.
You know, in my theatrical passion is conflict as the essence of drama, mm-hmm. and stage combat as the pinnacle of conflict. So when words do not suffice to express the absolute commitment in character and it breaks out into physical violence, do not try this at home. And Shakespeare's got so many great scenes that are just set up for eloquent fighting. and brutal fighting. Right now, my students
and even funny fighting
and hysterical
12th night,
fighting
has yes. some of the funniest sword fights I've ever.
And you know, we like to insert as a combat choreographer, we like to insert fights where they do not belong. So Helena and Hermia are always getting into mud fights and hair dragging, you know, all that stuff.
That's so great that you make it visual. That's not happening off stage somewhere.
Oh, gosh, no. Exploited at every turn. So
no, we leave that to the Greeks. They can have all their violence off stage.
Exunt. The sound of clashing. No, and that's actually where my relationship with Fairbanks Shakespeare comes from, is going up and choreographing Othello and Julius Caesar and various others, which escape me. It's one of my favorite things to
do. How do you keep it safe for the actors? It's training or?
That's a long story.
Oh.
But yeah, there's techniques that are specific to stage combat that alter true fighting to something that you don't need a new set of actors every night to complete your run. So, you know, we're very protective of the face because that's your headshot unless you want to play pirates for the rest of your life. You really need to maintain these rules. But currently my UAA combat class is doing young Seward Macbeth fights for their broadsword test coming up. So
yes,
they better be practicing.
Yes, and they have been aching about it a lot, let me tell you.
We have some gigantic broadswords at UAA, some of the best weapons in really in any
university. Explain what broadswords are to our audience.
The cross-shaped heavy sword from... Think about Camelot kind of time period, medieval time period, before metallurgy got lighter and faster and
so
thinner.
It takes two hands to handle.
Yeah,
I mean, I know there are a lot of daggers involved.
Yeah, single-handed broadswords, but my favorite is a hand-and-a-half broadsword, so there's moments when you can have just one hand on, but then you reinforce when you really mean it in the selling of that moment and that action.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Maybe we can even sort of sneak in actual physical fighters at the Bardathon.
Yeah, we should invite my students to do that scene with action. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Good luck getting them there at, 2 in the morning?
Wait.
They might.
Yeah, McBee? Yeah, they might still be up.
They might. They're college kids.
They're the ones we'll give some coffee and the other end of the candle.
I will not give them coffee and a blade.
Oh, no. That's a good idea.
At the same time.
Good thinking.
But better.
I think at this point we need to go back and give the details. We're talking about the Bardathon
certainly.
Coming up. We've got all kinds of subjects going here, but I don't think we've clearly given the details of this event. So let's give the names, places, web pages, whatever it is to be involved in the Bardathon. What's the deal?
One simple place to visit to get more information is the Alaska Theater of Youth website, www.alaskatheaterofyouth.org, and that's theater with the R-E, alaskatheaterofyouth.org, all one word. And from there, we can refer to the private phone numbers where people can sign up unless you have another.
Well, I think we're doing it on email for me.
Yes.
Who are interested in the Cyrano's segment, which is the comedies, need to get in touch with me at Edgeware, that's Edgeware, at gci.net.
Yes, and for Out North or Alaska Theater of Youth, you can email me directly at aty@alaskatheaterofyouth.org.
Okay, we'll repeat this at the end.
And for UAA, 786-1794 is Dr. Edgecombe's office number, and if you leave a message there, he will get you down on the list. Or just show up.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you don't have a pen, you can always call Alaska Theater of Youth, and I will refer you to the person who's taking down the characters.
And I think
show.
There's a $7.99 complete works at Barnes & Noble.
Nice.
It's $7.99.
Ooh, complete.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So if you haven't got your own, this might be the time. Just do it.
That's right. And it's coming up this weekend, so it's a great way to spend March 1st and 2nd, the whole 48 hours of March 1st and 2nd.
Yep, so drop on by.
So now I know both of you are teachers. You just told me you taught combat. What, and you teach an adjunct at
I teach acting.
Mm-hmm. And, well, thank you for producing so many wonderful actors. Yeah, she has to get back to her class.
Well, we're not going to take total credit for that. So much of it is just the experience that they get at places like ATY and at Cyrano's and TBA and ACT. Mm-hmm. Experience, I think.
Learning by doing, absolutely.
It's the best teacher.
Yep, the on-the-job training.
Actually doing it.
Yeah. Learning the protocols and behaviors and expectations and you know, that throwing it together and all being part of one thing.
It may inspire some people to actually enter some classes and extend their acting life from this experience. Because it is, as we know, very addictive and lots of fun.
It certainly got us.
Yep.
I've had a lifetime of it, too.
So, anything else you want to share about the Bardathon that we haven't covered yet?
I do want to mention that it is opposite Sense and Sensibility, so you should go see that the first weekend. Oh, too late, because this show is...
Oh, yes.
The Bardathon's coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
But there are also tickets for that on Saturday and Sunday, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. UAA has Sense and Sensibility running, and there's also stuff running
Clybourne
all over
Park
town.
Is running.
So,
Clybourne Park is at Cyrano's, and ATY has Honk Jr. the Musical and Wizard of Oz the True Story.
Oh, that's a great double
Ron
feature.
Ron Holstrom's version with the Ann Seton School.
He's so excited. So,
yes, we are very excited, too. So there's ever so much going on.
And I love Honk. I love Honk. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what's fun about being an actor, too. You can go to all these different worlds, all these different times and spaces.
Yeah, so we're going to immerse ourselves for just 24 hours, March 1st through March 2nd, 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. in the world of the Bard. Get some nice saturation and excellent language.
Right. Yeah, how long did you say it takes Fairbanks to read the entire canon?
I don't remember if it's 8 or 9 days, but it is 24
hours.
Do they
read the poems, too?
Uh-huh. They do sonnets. That's in there.
And the long poems, all the long poems, everything.
As far as I know.
How about the questionable everything. Plays? The plays where the authorship is in question.
I'm not aware of that. They've got a lovely logo if you go to their website that's a tree that has all the plays grouped into different types.
Uh-huh.
And it shows what they're working on. One of the wonderful things popping into their web feed was I popped in during a school day because they run all day long every day. And they had school classes coming in, and you have a table of 25 teenagers reading this, and they're so adept and experienced at facilitating these that with no judgment, just encouragement, they're helping with pronunciation and understanding and pausing for, in this scene, this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. So these students are having a much richer experience knowing why they're saying what they're saying, and that's inspiring to me.
Yeah. It would be. It's
involving the local schools. So maybe someday, if this catches on and it expands, we can move into a longer weekend and then a little bit into the week so we can make sure that our public schools and private schools have a chance to truly participate.
Oh, that would be very exciting indeed.
Yeah.
And, you know, learning the lexicon. I mean, people don't really realize how much of the language is part of our language that Shakespeare actually coined.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And that he's hysterical. The tongue twisters he has, he's infamous for putting difficult words in your mouth.
And the longest word ever coined.
What was that?
Honorificabilitudinitatibus.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what's that from?
It's not from a play. It's from one of the long poems. But
oh,
honorificabilitudinitatibus. Yeah. So it means always the kids ask me, what does that mean? I say, well, what do you think it means? What's the first part of it? Honor. Okay. Mm. So it's someone who is beyond honorable. They are just honorificabilitudinitatibus.
Uh-huh.
I think we should all learn to say that word. It's just fabulous.
Well, the kids at Bigich Middle School know how to say it.
Well, that gives me hope.
So do they at Hanshu. So.
Fantastic.
Oh, wow. Well, let me see. I was wondering about, this is strictly just reading it, right? There are no costume involved or anything. All in the mind and in the imagination in the words of Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. And not much preparation, I would imagine.
No. Yeah, we're not having read-throughs per se. Or it's not a staged reading as much as it is a dramatic reading to the degree that we can as a group of disparate people coming together to create something together.
And it is really amazing how... Shakespeare, you know, so many people have the wrong-headed notion that he was writing in some other English than contemporary English.
Like King James.
Right. Well, actually, he was contemporary with King James, and there is some talk that he might have helped write that Bible.
Really?
Yeah, there's...
You never heard that
somewhere.
Theory.
Oh, yeah. There's some weird that gossip. Stuff. But but what... Once you get... deeper into Shakespeare and studying it more carefully, you come to understand that Shakespeare was writing in modern English. When a teacher says this was old English, they're showing themselves to be ill-informed. Old English was unintelligible to our ear. That was, you know, and Middle English. Those Chaucer. To us would Chaucer yeah. would sound like another language. But Shakespeare does not. In fact, we've all got this sense that Shakespeare should be done with round tones and sound like you're from Eton, when in essence what they think was that people who spoke English during Shakespeare's time sounded more like the people in Appalachia now. So rhymes that don't make sense with Etonian English do make sense if you kind of color it with this Appalachian accent.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so this kind of highfalutin English that we all think we should be saying when we
using
speak Shakespeare,
is
wrongheaded. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing that I insist on when I work with young people with Shakespeare is lose the English accent. We'll save that for Sense and Sensibility when they actually did speak that way.
Did you get that Sense and Sensibility?
but for Shakespeare, it's perfectly legitimate mm-hmm. to speak Shakespeare with an American accent. And if you want to hear an English accent, go to England and listen to the Royal Shakespeare. But we can claim Shakespeare as much as anyone. And of course, you know, the Germans also claim Shakespeare. The Russians claim Shakespeare. He is the most produced playwright in the world consistently for the last 400 years. And not a year goes by when he doesn't top the list. And by the way, did you know that he was named Man of the Millennium? In 2000.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember
They decided, these smart people that got together and chose the man of the millennium, chose him over Newton, Galileo. Think of all of the other people
but his
who influenced a thousand
globally.
Years of history.
Yes.
But he was the most influential person.
Well, you are going to have out there a chance to brush up your Shakespeare, read Shakespeare, experience Shakespeare.
Or just listen to
Shakespeare this coming weekend, March 1st and 2nd at UAA out north, Alaska Theater of Youth and Cyrano Theater Company. And thank you, ladies, for coming.
Thank you.
And tune in again next week, or next month, rather, for the next episode of Alaska Radio Reader Rambler.